On this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast, we compare and contrast Joe Jackson and Elvis Costello, two singer-songwriters who both produced some of the most interesting and amazing music of that second wave of the British invasion. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Alright everybody, moms and dads, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. I am your ringmaster, the master himself.
Bader.
I'm Master Bader.
Wow.
Wow, so you know I had this big build-up going on, it was going to be majestic and powerful, and you know.
Was that not majestic?
That was some majestic masturbation.
Wow.
Zing.
You know, Bill Damiano is in with us today, a very special guest from Build the Scene, and he's a good guy, he's a family man, so guys, I'm going to have to ask that, like, you guys rein it in a little bit tonight.
You know. Okay.
He's a school teacher, you know, he can't be associated with the wrong crowd, you know. In today's world, you know, everybody's got a camera in their pocket.
Have a shot, Bill.
They do. Yeah.
So yeah, we have to be careful of those sorts of things. But anyways, like I said, it is Build the Scene, and so we're going to be getting to Bill very shortly. In the co-pilot's chair this evening, we have the lovely and talented Miss Lily V6.
What's up?
And Lily, what is it that you do again? You're on a rock station, aren't you?
Yeah, Rock Rage Radio. My show is Hot Licks with Lily 6, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You can download the app for free on your smartphone or just go to rockrageradio.com.
All right. And hiding out there in the corner, the man behind the curtain. Pay no attention to the man behind the computer.
No.
This is, we have Pittsburgh Kevin. What's up, Pittsburgh Kevin?
How you doing out there?
How are we doing out there?
Oh, we're doing great.
We're doing great. Is that how you're going to talk the whole night?
What, you want me to?
Okay.
No, we're not going to do
no,
that.
No, I just want to make sure we could. Oh, I was just getting a level on.
Ah.
All right. And of course, the drummer, the centerpiece, the guy that drives the band.
Miss Your Black Backbone.
Yeah, the Your Backbone. Mr. Keith Mr. Keith the Hawk Hawkins.
He looks like he's.
He looks. What's that music video where the. Dun, 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 dun. He looks like he's in that music video, 1979, by the Smashing Pumpkins.
What?
So we have Keith the Hawk Hawkins as well, all the way from Nolens. What's going on there, Mr. Hawk? What are you doing, brother? You look like you're lost.
I'm just right now, you know, Lou. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, the wife and kids are eating my freaking couillons all day. I mean, I got a rash so bad on my ass, I can barely sit down. But you know me, I can't complain. Hold on a minute.
Oh, my God. See, this is why we love him. This is why we have the Hawk. You know, without the Hawk, what would it be?
I feel like I'm in an interrogation room.
For those of you who are watching, what's going on over there? I don't know what's happening, but there's some kind of bizarre rituals happening at Keith's house right now.
I'm in and out of rooms. I lost $100 and I had to find it. I was in a panic for a second.
Oh, boy.
Wow. When he does this on the shows, I usually start to get seasick. Quit it.
Okay, so we anyways, let's talk about somebody.
That's Billy Damiano in the house. I mean, hey, what do we owe the pleasure to? Come on, get your ass in here, dog. All right,
we're gonna be getting to Bill real soon, Hawk. Just to hang on a second, brother. Want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Wolf's Customs. Wolf'sCustoms.online. They do custom paint jobs and customizations on musical instruments. The Hawk had some work done on one of his drums. They do guitars, basses, whatever you have. Hollow Flash is kind of their specialty, but they do a lot of different things. Chris Thunderwolf Dodson's been a longtime supporter of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, and you can check those guys out at wolfscustoms.online. Shout out, as Lily was talking about, Rock Rage Radio. We are on every Sunday at noon. That is rockrageradio.com. Download the app. And don't forget, guys, one more week. Next week, we're going to announce the T-shirt contest winner. Those of you, I told you guys, would tell you what to do. Go to iTunes, hit rate and review, give us a review and a 5-star rating, take a picture of it with your cell phone or screen cap or whatever you do, and then email it to lou@loulombardimusic.com, and we're going to do a random drawing, and you will win a Ludini Rock and Roll Circus T-shirt of your size and choice. So just shoot that to lou@loulombardimusic.com. Wow, that's it. I'm kind of done giving out links and stuff. So... You just get tired of that. You know what I mean? This is like, and it feels like it's going on forever and ever and ever. And I watch these YouTube guys. They're able to work it in so well. I got to practice that a little bit. So we'll work on that. Bill Damiano, like piano. I was corrected on that earlier. So I feel very chastised.
Damiano.
You asked.
Bill Damiano from Build the Scene. Bill, welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Thank you.
And can you tell us... what is Build the Scene and what do you do?
So we have an hour?
No.
Well, we do, but not for you.
Yeah.
I like you.
All right. So Build the Scene is based around my two podcasts, Pennsylvania Rock Show and Three Questions and a Song. But it also has its own 24/7 streaming radio station that plays unsigned rock, metal, any genre. And you mentioned Wolf's Customs earlier.
Yeah.
They are one of the sponsors for that radio station as well.
Dang, check you out, Wolf. What are you doing out there, buddy? You're being a businessman. Good for you.
He's all over the place.
Good for him.
But basically what we do is we interview unsigned bands, Pennsylvania Rock Show. I try to keep to rock and metal from Pennsylvania, or they have to have some kind of link to Pennsylvania. Are you familiar with Michael Stover from MTS Management?
Yeah. Michael, yeah. I worked with him in the early days of my podcast and did a lot of interviews with his artists. So, yes.
That's, I do the same. And he lives a couple miles from me, so he's the link. Cool.
I met Xander Demos because of him. And
me
that
too.
That was worth the price of admission right there.
Xander is amazing.
He's a really cool dude. But I'm sorry. We digress. Go ahead.
And then Three Questions in a Song is supposed to be, I ask two questions, we talk about their song, and then the guest previously asked the third question, but it tends to be more like 10 questions. So there's three official questions, but you know, I talk a lot, as you can hear right now.
That's why you have a podcast. You have the same way.
That's right. And then, you know, I work with First Angel Media. I work a little bit with DI Records out of Pittsburgh. I worked with the SOS PJH 2020 group. So there's a lot of stuff going on at Build the Scene. You can go there. You can learn about how to do this kind of stuff. You can look up how to make websites, because I do websites. I do photography.
Wow.
I do audio. Yeah, there's a lot. That's why I said we have an hour.
I popped over to it and saw that you do like reviews, show reviews, as well as album reviews and stuff like that. Finally, like, very cool. Obviously, like, you like to write too. So I am
Okay. If you look, there is a lot of stuff that I wrote, but the newer stuff is mostly First Angel Media writers.
Gotcha. I got you. Cool. Yeah, I used to write for Blues Rock Review, and it was exciting to take the job. I was like, oh, cool, and I got to interview some, you know, semi-famous people and stuff like that. But I just couldn't keep up with it, you know. So it's not for everybody. But I got you.
I'd rather have the conversation than sit and write it.
Yeah. Exactly. Keith, do you have any questions for Bill?
I do not. Not at the moment, but if I may perk one up in my mind somewhere. Yeah.
It should be noted that all three of you have been on my shows.
I have been on your show, Bill. Same. It was a hell of a good time.
This is totally random, but your voice reminds me of Rick Steback. I know that's totally
I'll
random.
Take it.
Okay.
I think he sounds more like Ryan Seacrest.
I don't know that.
I don't know. I just made it up. You said Rick Steback.
I love Rick Steback.
Oh, crap. Okay, so let's go ahead then. We promised people we were going to talk about Elvis Costello and Joe Jackson. Bill's going to hang out and chime in with these two guys there. Yes, Lily has
visual
the photo.
Aids.
Lily has. I couldn't find.
Oh, yeah, you need that, too.
I couldn't find my Body and Soul album. I have. I
can't
that
ever
album,
find my Body and Soul.
But either. I did find this. And this, if you do not know Right and Wrong by Joe Jackson, you are poor soul, because this is absolutely killer tune. It's one, it's more rockin'. It's like one of his most rockin' tunes as well. And the B-side, I'm holding up a 45, by the way, 45 record. The B-side is so good. It is Breaking Us in Two live.
Ooh.
And the live version has this amazing acoustic guitar solo on it. It's all done on acoustic guitar. It's completely unlike the studio version. And it is just so touching. And that was actually the first, I'd not heard the studio version. I heard that version first. So the studio version sounds kind of weird to me. Mm. But it is so good. And I played this over and over and over. But yeah, so we have a little Joe Jackson and Elvis Costello memorabilia hanging around.
Look at
that. So what do you want to start with? You, Lily, you want to give like a little background on Elvis first, maybe?
Yes. So English singer-songwriter, won multiple awards in his career, Grammys, inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He began his career as part of London's pub rock scene in the early 70s and later became associated with what you said, the second wave of the British punk movement in the late 70s, early 80s. His critically acclaimed debut album, My Aim Is True, was released in 1977. And then he formed the band The Attractions as his backing band. His first three albums all appeared on Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest albums of all time. And much of his work since has been as a solo artist. He's had reunions with the members of The Attractions. His lyrics have a different, like a wide vocabulary, lots of wordplay, and a lot of his music draws on a lot of diverse genres. One critic described him as a pop encyclopedia, able to reinvent the past in his own image. And he's also written songs for several movies. God Give Me Strength from Grace of My Heart, The Scarlet Tide from Cold Mountain, and he was also nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Song and the Grammy Award for Best Song Written for Visual Media.
Wow.
So fancy pants. And he's worked with, he's done a lot of collaborations, Paul McCartney, Billy Joe Armstrong, Roy Orbison, Tony Bennett, like hundreds of collaborations for Elvis.
Yeah,
he's known for that,
and you know he's respected by other artists as well. I saw an interview with him today, and they were talking about like how did you feel when Springsteen came out and like praised what you did and stuff like that. So that's just some pretty big accolades.
Lou, right, have you played any of his music in bands you've been in?
Yeah,
I had a newfound respect for him because it's not easy music to play.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And it took me a long time to learn a lot of his songs. So, mad respect for him.
Allison is an early song I worked on with my vocal coach. And kind of let song help me learn to sing. So, I think, you know, Keith, jump in, bro. Talk about Elvis for us.
He also does a mean-ass collaboration with The Roots. It's funky as hell. He also is very... He actually appeared on an HBO show called Tremé, which was about the New Orleans music scene and just life in New Orleans in general after Katrina. Hmm. And he appeared on that show and on one episode, and he was checking out like bands in these local like dive bars in New Orleans. So he has a definite like affection for that music. But his collaboration with The Roots is pretty dope. And I mean, he's a very versatile musician. Very, very versatile musician. I seen him live when they opened for The Police on their reunion tour, and they were, you know, that's not your typical opening act, man. I mean, it's legends opening for legends. So, I mean, you look at songs like you mentioned, Allison, Pump It Up, Every Day I Write the Book, Watching the Detectives, Radio, we can go on and on. But all those songs have a different vibe to them. Every one of them has like just Some of it got a reggae feel to it. Some of it's just straight pop. Pump It Up has a new wave, very synthy, heavy sound. Radio is this great classic, you know, pop rock. The collaboration with The Roots, Wake Me Up, is definitely a funky friggin' time there. So it's yeah, he's all over the board, and that's it's something that's I actually forgot he was in the Rock Hall of Fame, and that's something we unfortunately can't say for the other guy because I don't think he is. But that's, you know, maybe that's not to make it a competition, but it's, I mean, that's one thing that's, you know, people can say what they want about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. My opinion to this day is that even if you don't like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and you're nominated, it's still, I guarantee you're talking to yourself going, yeah, that's pretty cool. You might not admit it, but it's, you know.
No, I would still admit it, even though people hate them.
Like, if you're that artist and you don't, like, show up or whatever, man, yeah, it's kind of a dick move. I understand people do it. But at the same time, it's like the, and then it is full of suit wearing jerk offs. What are you going to do? And, but it's one of those things where that's like the, one of the highest honors you can get, man. I mean, regardless of what the opinion of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is, it's still a pretty good, that's, you're pretty successful when you get into that thing. So,
I honestly think they should just take the Rock and Roll off and call it Music Hall of Fame.
Right, right.
That would eliminate a lot of their issues.
Let's talk. What do you have any thoughts on, Elvis Costello, Bill? Do you want to say anything you want to add? I know you're more like a hard rock and metal guy, but
So the one main thing I did right before we came on, I went to the Wikipedia pages because you're right, they're not really my thing. And I took Elvis Costello's real name and I posted it into the First Angel Media group chat that we use.
Okay,
and I said, does anybody know this guy? And they all said no. So
his real name, yeah, it's like he has like five names.
Yeah, it's Declan Patrick Aloysius McManus.
Yeah, no,
yeah, I think one of his sons is named like four or five things too. It's almost like, I mean, I don't know what you're trying to prove here. I tried to write his whole name down and I ran out of paper. That's how bad it is.
Right. my take here is usually that, like, I don't understand why people use stage names, but with Elvis Costello, I get it. Because how do you, you know,
you couldn't even fit that on the album, you know what I mean?
Just paying for the ink to put your name on the album.
Yeah, for sure. That's gonna cost you a ton right there. Yeah, that and the guy obviously has sold some records, I think, because it looks like, view Wikipedia, you've probably seen us on there, Bill, mm-hmm. too, is like his actual estimated net worth is $70 million, so somebody buys this stuff, you know, he's made some money somewhere.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so let's pop around and talk a little bit about some of the songs. I did some research on some of his tracks, and I think, did you do some of this too, Lily?
Not the tracks.
No. Okay. But this song is kind of infamous song. Radio. This is Costello. He's protesting the commercialization of 70s FM radio. You know, radio stations will become more and more consolidated over the years, etc. So this was him. This was his sort of like, think of Tom Petty's Last DJ, which kind of gives the same kind of sentiment. The song is, it is a takedown of radio, but the song didn't start out that way. It was originally called Radio Soul, and he recorded it with a band called Flip City, and they recorded in 74, but the song was never released. In Radio Soul, Costello sings lovingly about radio without any trace of, like, kind of anger or anything. And the words are, I could sail away to the songs that play upon the Radio Soul, Radio Soul. It's a sound salvation. Sounds familiar, kind of. But when he reworked it in 77, he changed the title and completely flipped the meaning, reflecting his newfound take on the topic. And do you guys remember the Saturday Night Live? What was that all about, Kevin? You have anything on that?
Yeah. So December 17th, 1977, Costello and his band, The Attractions, performed Watching the Detectives and a few bars of Less Than Zero, a song his label wanted him to perform on the show. But do you remember seeing the video of it? Or
yeah,
I remember it live on that old. And they launch into a few bars of Less Than Zero, and he stops the whole band. And then he says, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but there's no reason to do this song here. And then they launch into Radio. which got him banned from Saturday Night Live.
Magic.
This is the thing that I never understood. Why? What was it with that song that he couldn't play it on Saturday Night Live? There's no like swear words or anything.
No, I think it was that he was being forced to do it because the label wanted him to do it. And I think he wanted the message of Radio Radio more than this song they wanted.
Yeah, less than zero.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that, Keith? You ever heard about that? Him being thrown off of Saturday Night Live?
I don't know enough about it to like rap about it for minutes, but that, okay. I mean, Lorne Michaels probably had a bug up his ass about something. Lorne got issues, man. You know, he's like one of those, he's one of those love or hate kind of guys from what I understand. So,
yeah.
I don't know the man personally, but you know, hey, if people like him or they don't, it's, you know, he probably had some kind of bug up his ass. I don't know. Did they tell you ahead of time what songs they would like you to
play? What it was.
Like, yeah, that's what it is. That's what this article says.
I think the way they stated what I read was because he was going off script. So apparently, even as a band, like you have to do what they want you to do, which is kind of bizarre.
I know Rage Against the Machine got thrown off air for doing some goofy shit, but I mean that's Rage Against the Machine. They only got to do one song. They weren't even allowed on for the second song.
Wow, they were.
In the end,
they did some political thing.
Well, they put the flag upside down or something, so yeah.
Well,
Lorne wasn't having that either.
Let's talk about Allison. This was there aren't many rock like love ballads that I like, pop love ballads, but this is one of them, and Joe Jackson has one as well. And but this is one that I think is a really like a touching song. It's got great imagery in it, but Costello has been not very forthcoming about who Allison is supposedly about. And during some interview, they were probing about it. He said he's much more would be undone if I said anything more about this. So, no, mum's a word on that. In the 2015 autobiography, Unfaithful Music and Disappearing Ink, he wrote, "Always told people that I wrote the song Allison after seeing a beautiful checkout girl at a local supermarket. She had a face for which a ship might have once been named. Scoundrels might once have fought duels to defend her honor. Now she was punching in the prices, cans of beans on a cash register, etc. He says, all that were left would soon to be squandered on a ruffian who told her convenient lies and trapped her still further. So, like, wow, he talks to this checkout lady and he gets this all in his head.
Her name was Edmund Fitzgerald.
Her name was Diana Krall.
Her name was Titanic. And she sunk quickly. I don't know, man. You know, I can't. You know, it's got to just go with it. You know, so yeah. Good. Keep it rolling.
Anyway, so the line, "My Aim Is True," became the title of an album as well. The chorus of the song is based on the Detroit Spinners, a song called "A Ghetto Child." And this is very, when you research his music a little bit, you find out that there's a lot of stuff that he really like sucked up from all kind of different genres, from punk rock to Motown, to Memphis soul, to Dixieland jazz. He was just like a complete sponge. And I think that's something that I think that's the way the Beatles were, you know, they just had every influence in them. And that's what they were able to come up with by that. Linda Ronstadt recorded this on her 78 Living in the USA album and released the song as a single. The single didn't chart the Hot 100, a rare miss for Ronstadt, who was very popular at the time. The album, however, sold over 2 million copies, providing Costello with substantial royalties as the writer of one of the 10 tracks. He credits these earnings to keeping him afloat in the early years before he caught on. So in other words, it was kind of a song that was known as a Linda Ronstadt song before it was known
That's
as
cool.
an Elvis Costello song.
I like that.
You know.
I like her.
So, you know. Anyways, we don't have to get into, I mean, there's a gazillion things you can go
I have some fun trivia about him, though.
Sure, go ahead. Let's give some fun trivia.
So, for the 1986 Elvis Costello and the Attractions album, King of America and Blood and Chocolate, one of his sort of alter egos was Napoleon Dynamite. And the name was later used for the movie, of course, but the film's writer, director, claimed he wasn't aware of the alter ego and called it an embarrassing coincidence.
Really?
So that's kind of cool.
That's a strange kind of name.
Because he sort of looks like him a little bit, right? Like with the glasses.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing.
Yeah, but I'm not buying that one. I'm
right.
Sorry.
The other cool thing was he has some movie appearances. So Austin Powers, the Spice Girls movie, Spice World.
Awesome.
And
I can't believe I missed that one.
And right. And Joe Strummer starring Straight to Hell. So interesting movies he's played in. I think everybody, though, was in like Spice World, like Meatloaf was and a bunch of other. Oh, oh John,
wasn't.
You were not because you're not famous. In Hollywood.
Wow. I'll tell you right now. Wow.
He's world famous in Cannonsburg.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he was the only artist who set whose set at London's Wembley Stadium Live Aid event in 1985 consisted of a solitary cover. He performed the Beatles' 1967 number one hit, All You Need Is Love, to a televised audience close to 1.9 billion.
Hmm.
So some fun stuff. He's also worked with John Mellencamp and Stephen King together on the Ghost Brothers of Darkland County, which was an album they did together. He also did a song on there. So that was pretty cool.
Stephen King is a big rock fan. Mm-hmm. Big rock fan. He, like, his books are full of quotes from rock songs and everything like that. Does not surprise
especially
me that he collaborate with Elvis Costello.
Right.
Not at all. Not at all. This is a fun this song was it's considered by, you know, some critics came out and said this is like the greatest pop song that was ever written. And it is Every Day I Write the Book.
Oh, yeah.
And now, see, this is so crazy, okay? He wrote his song as a joke. They were touring with somebody, and he said that this band was writing this, like, very self-conscious, jangle pop kind of songs, and, you know, thinking they were super intellectual and stuff. She said, so I thought I'd tease them by writing something that was like that, like what they did, only a lot better than them. He said, I wrote it in 10 minutes. And so, like, that's how sometimes these things happen. You know, he was trying to bust on this other band. He sort of wrote it as a joke, and people went, no, that's actually really good. So sometimes kind of when you're not trying, right, that's when some of the best...
you get the best songs.
That's when the best stuff happens, right? When Costello wrote the song, he envisioned it with a retro Mercy beat popularized by Liverpool groups of the 60s, like Jerry and the Pacemakers, very, very early Beatles. His producer, Clive Langer... heard the hit potential in the song and convinced Costello to do a more contemporary arrangement, which they model on Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing.
Hmm.
Okay, the result was a modern R&B sound that served the song really, really well. And it is this is a cool song. You know this song, Keith?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was on, if you ever watched The Wedding Singer, it's on there.
Mm-hmm.
That was on a list of best pop songs because when I looked up a list of Elvis Costello songs, a song called Watch Your Step from the Trust album was their number one. I think it was on Loudwire.
That was
their number one, which I wasn't as familiar with that song, but they had that ranked number one on there. And actually, their top 10 was a lot of obscure tunes by him. Allison was on there like three, but it wasn't like there was no Pump It Up. It wasn't Watching the Detectives. I mean, stuff that you would know him more for. Yeah, their list was very obscure.
Oh, well, here's the quote is from Esquire magazine: the most intellectually satisfying pop song ever written.
Oh well, hey,
that is like a pretty you know, don't get much better than that, as they say. But we're gonna. We're about halfway through. We're going to do one more Elvis Costello bit, and we're going to get into Little Joe.
And I do love his style. I just want to bring that up as one of the fashion people of the group here. The whole thing, he had a thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's a huge thing, too, with pop stars, like, and rock stars. Like, if you can get a look going,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the look, it's the everything that makes, it's the whole package. And, like, people eat that up, you know, absolutely. You know, I'm talking about Bill Damiano, like a piano.
It's funny that you bring it up. Today was it's Teacher Appreciation Week, and we didn't know, but students were coming in dressed as their favorite teacher. And when you see yourself in front of you, you're like, wow, I really do that a lot. All the kids dressed as me either had on a blue polo or a tie.
Fun.
That's funny. That's cool. Anyways, this song is an example of the noir thing, Costello says, as he runs through much of his material inspired by American detective shows. The lyric is filled with images of detective dames, guns and cigarettes, all those film noir tropes. The story is rather opaque, but the wordplay is quite compelling.
I like
that. Fascinating.
Elvis Costello wrote Watching the Detectives after an all-night bout of listening to The Clash's album, The Clash, the debut album, on headphones, which explains the reggae influence. Fortified by drinking an entire jar of instant coffee, he stayed awake for 36 hours. Costello told Q Magazine in August of 2013, "Why do you think that song is so jerky? I drank a lot of coffee."
I'd be dead.
So, oh, by the way, it had a couple different B-sides. One release had the Allison as the B-side. When it came out. For those of you who don't recall this, there were these things called 45 singles, and they had to put something on the other side.
You should take that out of there for people like Billy Altman, who've probably never seen one.
Wow.
For anyone under the age of 30.
There's something wrong with that CD.
It got a hole in the middle of it.
It's black.
You could put an eyeball through. Anyways, that's it.
You know, Billy Altman would say, he'd be like, "Lou, that's broke. You got a hole in it. You can't play that."
We're going to get
to go even further with the depths of his versatility. One of the B-sides to, I forget what hit it was, but the B-side was a cover of the old jazz standard, My Funny Valentine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He dips into a little bit of everything.
You know what?
Go ahead, buddy.
I'm sorry. I just wanted you to expound on that because he does that, like standards and stuff like that. I had forgotten
about
that.
Stuff, but what I wasn't aware of is the song that I did learn today. What's so funny about Peace, Love, and Understanding is a cover song of a Nick Lowe song, which I did not know. Did you know that?
Yes, I knew that it was a cover.
Well, why don't you tell me?
You're fired.
You know, Keith.
The fact that you
all
let
the
me
years
hang,
we've known each other,
like a
not once.
Trapeze artist with nowhere to grab is bullshit. I think, but that's okay. Well, I'll forgive you because I'm a Christian. But let's move on.
Wow.
In all the years that I've known you, in all the years that you've known me, Lou, not once did you ever look at me and say, "Did you know that song by Elvis Costello is actually a Nick Lowe song?" I apologize, Lord. I apologize.
Come on, no.
You're an awful friend.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I mean, I just had you at my house. We were drinking. We were having good times. And all of a sudden, you could have told me that we were divulging a lot of information and you left that out. That's ridiculous.
The conversations obviously weren't that deep then.
They were very stimulating, but not that stimulating.
Right, so this isn't allowed to break that friendship up because I got to watch Keith play drums, and that won't happen if Lou's not there. So you guys aren't allowed to get angry at each other.
I try to really limit my Facebook activity because there's just a lot of BS on there nowadays. But I mean, I will post videos of me playing. I'm just more like that kind of guy that really, I rarely post videos of me playing anymore. I just don't really, it's not my thing. I just don't care. That's what it is. I mean, I want people to watch me play. I think I'm a good player, but I'm not like someone that's going to win contests and awards. I mean, and I'm not someone that keeps throwing themselves out there. Like I've seen really, put it this way, I hate to say it, I see bad musicians that just are their best freaking critic, and they just throw more and more videos at you. And, you know, their aunt chimes in, "Oh, you're really good, Joey. That's good." But it's like, I'm just not that. I'm not that guy. So, I mean, I like posting videos of myself. I like people that post videos of me playing, but, you know, hopefully you catch me on a good night. But other than that, let's, you know. That's where I'm at. I mean, I used to post videos at least once a week, and I just lost interest in it.
Okay. It'll come back. You're going to be all right, brother. It's all going to work out. I got a feeling.
How much does that cost for me to vent like that? I feel like I'm on a psychiatrist's couch. That shit was free.
Nice.
All right, Nola. So let's talk about this other guy. We have not talked about it. He's not gotten his fair share this evening.
Joe Jackson, not related to Michael Jackson's
not
father.
Not Michael Jackson's father guy, yeah. If you Google it, that's like the first thing that comes up.
You believe that guy on these hits?
This is the one, this is the guy I know less about out of the two, but he's an English singer-songwriter. Spent years studying music, playing in clubs. He scored a hit with his first release, Is She Really Going Out With Him, which I do know the song, in 1979. This was followed by a number of new wave singles before he moved to more jazz-influenced pop music and had a top 10 hit in 1982 with Steppin' Out. And he is associated with the 1982 British invasion of the U.S., he's also composed classical music and has received 5 Grammy nominations. He learned to play violin, then he switched to piano, and made his father install one in their home. He began playing piano in bars at the age of 16 and also won a scholarship to study musical composition at London's Royal Academy of Music. In 78, a record producer heard Jackson's demo tape and signed him to A&M Records. The newly formed Joe Jackson Band the next year released their debut album, Look Sharp, a mix of rock, melodic jazz, and new wave. Same as in the vein of Elvis Costello, who we just talked about. In 1985, Jackson played piano on Joan Armatrading's album, Secret Secrets. Okay, so basically what I'm reading is, again, he has collaborated with a bunch of people, much like Elvis Costello. And he's also done some movie stuff, like he did Left of Center with Suzanne Vega for the Pretty in Pink soundtrack. So sort of the same kind of guy, maybe a little less known, at least to me.
Yeah, I mean, he also plays saxophone. The dude is a very punk musician, you know, he also played on, with the Roots on Jimmy Fallon. So they both have that little thing in common, but yeah, I guess career wise, there's some parallels, but I mean, they're different but same. Yeah. They have not the most rock star looking guys, but they made it work.
Exactly.
But Joe Jackson he also plays saxophone.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's an amazing piano player. He's a really good saxophone player. And he doesn't take himself too serious. You can see on stage, he has there's videos of him with but there's parts of the song where he'll have like a little Bruce Lee karate doll in his hand. And there's some really interesting stuff he does, where it's kind of quirky and he just kind of doesn't take himself too serious. But one thing he had, like Elvis Costello had, is you have to have a killer band behind you. And his band, if you listen, especially to, I mean, usually I'd be gushing about the drummer, not in this band, man. The bass player is a super bad dude in this band. So that's my unsung hero of this whole thing. But yeah, Joe Jackson has a string of hits and another very versatile guy that can go from songs like Is She Really Going Out With Him to reggae influenced stuff. He was playing Sunday Papers came out before The Police, man. So, I mean, that stuff, you know, sounds very reggae-ish and almost like a Police tune, you know, where it's like a pop reggae fusion there. But yeah, he's even influenced. I mean, I don't know how many people notice he's influenced metal bands. Anthrax did a cover of one of his songs and did a damn good job of it. And Joe Jackson has some kick-ass rock songs, and he also has some piano ballady stuff that you like, Lou, when you like to sit in the corner by yourself.
When he's crying.
When he's crying the blues, missing the hawk, and talking about, life.
He does that a lot.
I did cry over a couple of Joe Jackson songs, and I will never forget the first time I heard "Is She Really Going Out With Him."
I liked your email about that today.
I was standing in the living room of my cousin, who lives in Shippensburg. His dad was a college professor out there, and we loved going out there. He and I were the same age. I didn't have any other male cousins who were the same age. All the other cousins were girls. So we'd like getting together, and we were, and I was standing in his living room. We were getting ready. We were going to go hiking. It was Saturday morning, and Top of the Pops was on. And this guy comes on, who I was the polka dot tie and the gray jacket, just and what is this music? I was like, and when I heard the line, when I heard the words, I was like, okay, I'm a nerdy, awkward seventh grader, and all the girls I like are all going out with the jerks, so to speak, and when I heard that line, pretty women out walking with gorillas down my street, I was
that's
like,
"That's the line, buddy.
This
that is
guy
the line.
Knows me. This guy, he feels me.
He's singing to me right now."
Exactly. And I tell you what, man, it was my theme song through junior high and high school.
That hit close to home, did it?
It really did. And I have something at the end of the podcast. Something funny happened in the studio we want to tell you guys about. But I don't want to break the thing. So don't remind me to tell everybody about that later. Yeah, multi-talented guy. Now, the other song. Anyways, real quick. The line, is she really going out with him, is not, there's not, that's not the first time that line has been used in rock and roll. It's 1964. The Shangri-La's hit Leader of the Pack.
I love that song.
It has, is she really going out with him? Well, there she is. Let's ask her.
That's awesome. It's, I love,
you know,
it.
So right in there. So, you know, like, was it consciously lifted? Who knows? This song's been covered by Sugar Ray, Goldfinger, and Kid Courageous. So you can go check out their versions. But the original is perfect.
And now he can change it also to, is he really going out with him? Because he's bisexual. So
I am too.
I figured.
Every time I want sex, I have to buy it.
Oh shit! Where's my symbol? Damn, it's in the other room. I lost it. Son of man, I wish I could get to it. Did he do that again?
We could probably add it in later.
Yeah,
the Hawk is on tonight. What are you drinking, Hawk?
Who's the chief of the editing department at the Lou Lombardi podcast? Can you edit me doing a little rim shot after that joke?
That sounds dirty.
rim job.
No, come on, Lily.
Where my mind went.
Can you give me a rim job after that?
Wow.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Hal, when you snip out the part for the trailer, this is what you want to. This is what you want to snip out. Oh, I was talking about rim jobs. Do not do that. That is a joke.
Do it. Just do it for me. Send it to me.
Tune into this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. When Ludini says to Lily,
all right,
give me a rim job, not a whatever, whatever you're talking about.
Oh, man.
Rim job. I don't know what's
balls
going on.
Deep.
Oh, my God. Anyways, Stepping Out. Big MTV video. The song is about anticipation and excitement of a night out on the town. Ooh. Jackson wrote and recorded the album Night and Day in New York City, and the first side of the album describes various encounters with the city. Stepping Out is the last song on side one, and takes us on the journey through Manhattan in a taxi. All the tracks on the album segue together, which is a casualty with the digital age. Because you have to do song by song downloads. You can't get this. You got to buy like the record if you want to have the true experience.
That bass line, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a man. This is really like, so you hear an evolution from, but is she really going out with him, dude? For you, like, guys, I think that's just a simple, like, pop tune. Listen to the bridge. Go check it out. There's like every single chord on the guitar is like in that 8-bar bridge. It's insane. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so you're right, Keith. This song that has this amazing bass line, and there's this progression with his music now. So he's a kind of doing a kind of like dancey Steely Dan kind of thing, mm-hmm. or something. You know what I mean?
Talking about that song, go do yourself a favor, anybody out there that is interested in just hearing like someone take their own song and morph it into something else. Go look up the 2011 Jimmy Fallon, Joe Jackson with the Roots backing him up, and they do like almost Questlove plays like a breakbeat, and they do that song, which is a fairly fast song because it has like it's pretty up, but it's very straightforward drum wise. But Questlove, being a super bad dude that he is, he just plays it like more of a breakbeat kind of thing, and it's really really cool. It's kind of got this more sophisticated, more syncopated beat. But it's still recognizable, and as of 2011, Joe Jackson is still sounding pretty damn good, man. You know, he just put out an album, I think, in 2019 called Fool.
Yes.
So he's still been putting out shit. So I mean, he's still around. I think he lives in Germany now, and he's probably living more of a. He never seemed the guy that was like, you know, going to be in your face in the spotlight kind of thing. You know.
Yeah, he moved to Berlin. He prefers it.
They played the Palace 5 years ago, maybe something like that. Yeah, I remember Katie Simone telling me about it, and I was really bummed out that I did not see it.
I think he actually has a Graham Mabby, or maybe is still, I think, possibly is still his bass player. There was an interview as of 2018 with a guy that said he's been in Joe Jackson's band as the bass player, playing all them great lines. Graham Mabby is still the bass player, I think. He said he was celebrating 40 years playing with that same bass player.
just,
which is impressive.
Okay, you know, just to show that the guy can do almost freaking anything. So he also comes out with this song that's got a killer lyric. Okay, it's a, just this absolutely great lyric, and it is freaking slamming. Like, it is, you know Jamiroquai, right? Everybody knows Jamiroquai. This is like,
yeah, it's one of the most underrated bands of all time.
Well, I'm saying, but this is like pre-Jamiroquai. Basically, Jamiroquai could cover this and probably do a great version, but it's "You Can't Get What You Want Till You Know What You Want." And there is just, it's just insane playing. Graham Mabey said that he was not really comfortable slapping.
Oh, he sounded pretty damn comfortable. But that's what he said. Like, he friggin' flea in that song.
Well, this is what he said. I know. So he, you know, so that's like really amazing that, like, that's the kind of musicians that are playing with this dude. You know, it's just,
that's the kind of bass player that probably people would love to have in their band, and they have no idea who the hell that is. And that guy is just, what dedication to stay with, you know, that guy's probably played with, you know, other acts, but I mean, to have that kind of dedication to Joe Jackson, like I said, he's been with him that long. That's pretty good, because that guy's a really good bass player, very tasteful, but plays memorable parts. And it's, that was a lot of times the song I don't care about. Sometimes songs are songs. I mean, people write billions of songs. It is what it is. Certain parts of songs stick out to me. And I always, being the drummer, I listen to the bass, I listen to the drums. And when I hear those bass lines, they're very tasteful. You can tell it's played by somebody who knows what the hell they're doing. And yeah, that song is one of those songs that has that breakdown where he just goes, does his thing, man. That's a really good player.
Yeah. So that's a whole other side of him. You know, he's getting into like a lot of things. And Sunday Papers, as Keith mentioned, is got that whole reggae thing going on, and like kind of, and he says predates the Police. So, I mean, this guy's pretty tough. I was saying earlier that I'm not a big rock ballad or pop ballad kind of guy. There's very few of them that I really actually like. And this is the other one. We mentioned Allison before. This is Breaking Us in Two. Song about the battle between the boredom of monogamy and the loneliness of independence. The singer wants his girlfriend/wife to seek interest outside of him so that his love for her will grow stronger. Jackson is clearly in denial over this relationship. There's no guitars on the Night and Day album. So on the, okay, the opposite, there's no guitars on it. As I was saying earlier, it's the live version. That's the B side of Right and Wrong is an acoustic guitar version of Breaking Us in Two.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just an absolutely touching song about like a real,
yeah, it's a great ballad, man. It's a really, really, I listened to it today. It's actually really a very well-written song. It's just, the guy just can, you know, he can do no wrong. He's all over the board, man.
And it's very thoughtful, and I think it depicts real sort of actual realistic kind of like dilemmas and the nuances of them, like in a relationship, as opposed to, "Ooh, baby, I love you," or, "Oh, baby, don't leave me," or, you know, something very, you know, kind of cliche sentiment there. So I think it's a brilliant freaking song. Is there anything else you guys want to mention about Joe Jackson before we...
That album, Night and Day, went platinum. That means a million. So he sold some records on that one.
He had an appearance in the film The Greatest Game Ever Played as a piano player.
Oh.
And he also had a classmate who was famous at the Royal Academy. Her name was Annie Lennox.
Whoa.
I think he also collaborated with her on something, as I recall, but I don't know. 100%.
Don't get me started on her. That's a horrible, that's a wormhole I don't want to go down right now.
Okay.
Okay. And as I mentioned real quick earlier, make sure that if you've never heard Right and Wrong by Joe Jackson, you go pull it up on Spotify or YouTube or something like that. Listen to it. It's a really kick ass jam. You guys will totally dig it. Recorded live. He did an album, and I'm not seeing the album title.
Big World.
And this was some of the songs on the album are recorded live. This is interesting. We're recorded live in front of like a big concert. Like, is it a big concert? Mm-hmm. But he told the people, don't make any noise. Okay.
How much you gonna pay us?
And yeah, and so they did. They respected him, and they did not make any noise. And Right and Wrong is one of the tracks on there, and it sounds really like. And when you hear it, you go, if you didn't know that it wasn't live, if it was, you didn't know that it was live, you would think like that's some interesting production, because it like it's like got the live sound without the noise, like the, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's really interesting.
And then you really get into it, then all of a sudden that one jerk off in the back sneezes because you got allergy problems, and then all of a sudden it's just, it ruins it.
No, no, no. It's the guy that when the breakdown comes in yells, Freebird!
Oh my god.
That's what happens.
Yeah, that's the guy there.
I feel like I need to contact him and have him hang out in my classroom every day. You get a whole stadium to shut up.
He has the power.
Which the power. Probably wasn't exactly how I should word that, but it would be nice.
So those of you who are Bill students or are listening, he would like you to shut up.
Can't you do the member Sister Mary Elephant from Chasing Chong? Can you do that kind of vibe?
Class.
Go listen to that tonight, and you can do that, because that's what she got them to be quiet.
I don't think Bill's old enough to know Cheech and Chong.
I have not watched it.
See?
I have not watched it.
He's a young guy.
Yeah, he has not watched it, so that's a dead giveaway right there.
I've seen it.
Okay.
I'm definitely older than you.
Okay. No, we'll just go with it.
How old are you, Bill? Bill, how old are you? I can ask a guy, right?
So 44. 44.
Okay, yeah, you're older. Yeah,
you're a baby.
I'm older than your ass.
You're just a wee lad.
Not by much. I'm 48.
I'm the youngest, for once.
Not like a lifetime.
You're a wee lad.
When I was like 11 years old doing a cassette or something, like giggling and when they were swearing and smoking pot. And I'm like, what's pot? You know, that kind of thing. Meanwhile, I was smoking it too, and I was like six.
What?
I'm kidding. It's a joke. If your Bill student's watching, go to bed. And you, Billy, too.
Everybody go to bed. If you're under the age of 18, go to bed right now.
This is the portion of the show that is not for children.
Speaking of not for children, this day in 1956, Gene Vincent recorded the classic rock and roll song Bebop-a-Lua at Owen Bradley Studio in Nashville. The song went on to be a U.S. and U.K. top 20 hit in that year. Vincent has said that he wrote the words to the song after being inspired by a comic strip called Little Lulu.
I love Little Lulu.
This song was
the girl we all know with.
This song was one of the first rock songs I ever heard, and one of the reasons why I fell in love with rock music. I found my mom's 45 of it, and
sorry guys, I got to make you motion sickness for a minute.
Give me some motion sickness.
Well, the dogs are flipping off because the wife's here. Put away the blow up doll. I got to put away the blow up doll. Hold on. She's so sloppy, that blow up doll. Though. She deflates, she blows up, she deflates, she blows up. She earns no money. What a useless thing she is.
Oh boy.
All right, anyway.
Okay. Do you guys remember the song Groovin' by the Young Rascals?
Yeah.
It came out in 1967. Okay. That was the year I was born. And Jerry Wexler did not want to release the song. U.S. disc jockey Murray the K heard the track and encouraged Atlantic to release it. And
thanks, Murray.
Number one hit on this day in 1967. So I mentioned Top of the Pops earlier. Jimi Hendrix Experience on this day in 1967 as well appeared on Top of the Pops performing Purple Haze.
Nice.
Yes.
Sure to a track.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's how
you were not the playing Top of the Pops. Didn't you watch Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah. Led Zeppelin opened their 73 North American tour on this day in 1973. This day in 74, ABBA were at number one on the UK single chart with Waterloo, the group's first of nine UK number one singles. The song, by the way, was first called Honey Pie.
Here's a fact about ABBA. Couldn't speak English, could sing it. Don't make no sense. Mel Tillis stuttered his ass off. Sang, no stutter. Don't make no sense.
True.
You know, in the words of Spinal Tap, there's certain things that are just better left unsolved.
Right.
You know what it's I said?
Left unsolved.
The Lord works in mysterious ways. This fucking door can't be unlocked still, right? Yeah, sorry. Talk amongst yourselves. Is that a burglar? What? Oh, that's my wife. Never mind. I almost pulled the piece out. And I'm talking about a gun, not the other piece. Once again, right. Anybody watching, it's time for you to go to sleep.
That's right.
We have a few birthdays.
I saw one.
Okay, Dick Dale.
Hey!
Great guitarist.
We saw him. Great,
yep. Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Pulp Fiction all day, baby. Yeah, absolutely. For the win.
Not him, where there would be no Quentin Tarantino. Nick Ashford from Ashford and Simpson. Okay. Solid as a rock.
Wow.
Imagine if that's in stereo.
Jackie Jackson from the American Family Music Group, the Jackson 5. Happy birthday. Mick Mars.
Oh,
Bobby Deal. Yeah.
85 years old.
AKA Bobby Deal, American musician, guitarist from the heavy American heavy metal band Motley Crue.
85 years old today.
Oh, 112.
No, he's not.
1951. Do the math. I can't do math.
I can't do it.
Right now.
175, you say?
Yeah.
Yes.
175 years old.
He's 100. He's like Methuselah.
That's 70. Yeah, that's 70.
I should have been able to do that in my head.
That's young. He's a wee lad.
Sure.
Happy birthday.
He's going to go to a stadium for next year.
Happy birthday to country singer Randy Travis.
I actually like Randy Travis very much.
Actually, Randy Travis is celebrated right now by being drunk and passed out in a parking lot somewhere.
How's that any different than any other night?
Yeah, I remember.
That's actually a true story. Look it up.
He was such a came out such this clean cut guy and everything, you know.
Yeah, those are the worst ones, man. Nope. Those are the worst ones. Trust me, those guys you think, oh, they can't do no wrong. Look at pastors of churches and priests. Let's not go in that direction.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Because it's always the cleanest one that are the dirtiest. I'm telling you, that's all. In my opinion, I'm just saying. Ask Lou, he knows.
You know, I love that expression. I'm just saying.
I say it all the time.
Because, well, because it excuses you from everything. You know, hey. It'd be like, you know, Lily, you're an asshole. I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Or just kidding.
No, it's like, no. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Often use, just one? Saying. With all due respect, because you ever watch Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby says, I can say whatever I want, as long as I preface it with all due respect, and I can say whatever I want to you. That's how it works.
That's just like when you open with no offense. Clearly, you're going to offend a person.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't want to offend you, but hey.
Yeah. That's why I love I'm just saying is one of those expressions. There has to be an English language term for like what that's called. These phrases that just get you. They're like a get out of jail free card for like any stupid.
They're really not though, depending on who you are.
I mean, it depends on who you're around. I mean, if you say and then you get hit in the head with a freaking pipe, then you know that's not going to work for you.
Yeah,
but I said I'm just saying.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're smacking the head with someone.
Can you hear me?
Matter.
They must not have heard Lily say it again. I'm just saying.
I'm
just saying that you need to get custom paint job done on your musical instrument.
It's a segue.
At Wolf's Customs. Go to wolfscustoms.online. Go to rockrageradio.com. Download the
free app.
Free.
And listen to great music 24/7. The Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus is on every Sunday at noon. And when is the...
Hot Licks with Lily 6 is Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Nice.
Free.
Speaking of free, get a free t-shirt by going to iTunes, find the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus, click the rate and review thing, give us a 5-star review, 5-star rating, and write a nice review. Send us a screen cap or picture of it to lou@loulombardimusic.com, and you're going to know next week who won. Yeah,
you're going
to
know.
You're going to know.
Uh-huh. Bet's an AMA.
And Keith the Hawk Hawkins, I know you got some stuff going on. You got gigs and whatnot. And that band, Ugly, I'm telling you, man, tell him to get in the studio, get you guys recorded, man, because you guys have some good songs.
He has a studio in his house. We're probably going to record a 3-song little EP thing by the end, hopefully by summer.
That James
summer
Brown summer. Thing is badass, dude. That's super light.
What's that?
James Brown. It's called. That's what it's called.
Oh yeah, the song's called James Brown. Yeah, that's the whole. Plugs a lot of people, but yeah, that's the. Hopefully, that band will get something out by hopefully summer. We'll see. Like I said, Orlando has a studio in his house, so we'll see what we can churn out there.
Orlando, the guitar player, singer, not Orlando, Florida, the city.
No, Orlando da Silva, from Portugal to London, from to Pittsburgh to New Orleans. Yeah,
and so do you want to announce any shows real quick?
I got a show at the Blue Crab, which is by the lake, on Saturday, 5 to 9, with band Monkey Hill. Monkey Hill is a band that I play with.
You can't get away from the monkey bands, wow. Can you?
Nah. Monkey Hill will be playing the Blue Crab 3 times this month, and the Blue Crab is right on the water. A lot of views of boats and no Jimmy Buffett songs. Don't make no sense.
Just don't sit on the toilet when you go there.
What will you get?
Blue crabs.
Very hard to sit on the toilet in any bathroom in Portland because they're all pretty disgusting, but you know.
Oh, crap. Anyways, so very cool. Keep an eye out for Keith the Hawk Hawkins and his band Ugly. Good stuff. Bill, give us all the stuff. What's coming up? And make sure you give us all the links where people can find you.
All right, so the easiest thing to find me is go to buildthescene.com. All of the social media is up on the top right-hand side. That'll get you to Pennsylvania Rock Show, 3 questions and a song. Also, check out First Angel Media, where I am the vice president. And speaking of First Angel Media, this Saturday, Jonna and I will be joining Tiz and ALC, which is a Mid-Atlantic Cat, on a tagged show on XRP Radio out of Birmingham, United Kingdom. We are going to kind of do a our music versus your music show, where I'm going to play some Pennsylvania bands, you know, the loud and heavy and rock from this area versus their poppy stuff. And we're going to blow the UK out of the water. Friday.
No Joe Jackson or Elvis Costello.
No.
Friday, Brian Genovese will be on the Pennsylvania Rock Show. I also have Concrete Soul coming up on 3 questions and a song. We have Judy Rodman, who is a musician and voice coach. Izzy's Caravan, which is a Michael Stover band, Endbringer from Central Pennsylvania.
I like them, yeah.
Davey Williamson, another Michael Stover band. Charlie Brath, harmonica player, blues man from Pittsburgh. And then we'll be talking to John Vento in July. That one's scheduled. If you're not familiar with John Vento, awesome musician from the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah, I had him on my show.
Constantly doing benefits.
Yeah, good guy. Really good guy. Really has a heart for the community. Like a really good dude.
And if you're interested in being on any of the shows, you can hit me up through the website as well.
All right. So buildthescene.com. That's it?
That's the easiest way.
Okay, awesome.
Billy, I'm going to send you some ugly stuff, man. You're going to play it. I got a Pittsburgh connection. Me.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, you'll like it. It's good stuff. You know, it's like I said, it's not super heavy, but it's, you know, got a Chili Peppers vibe to it. So I'll send you some stuff up and you pick through and play what you want, man, you know?
I think Lily might.
Lily would like some too, in case you're missing that.
You can send some to me.
I'd always wanted to say, hey, Lily, would you? I don't want to say, hey, would you interview me? That's a weird conflict of interest.
No, so it's not.
I'll hook you up with Orlando or somebody. He's probably more charismatic.
Okay.
You guys need to have a one-to-one. So anyways, guys, you can listen to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our web, go to LouLombardiMusic.com to get more information. I promised everybody at the end I would tell you about the crazy thing that kind of happened.
Don't forget that story about the studio.
That happened while one of you guys were talking. This spider comes crawling across the desk here.
Well, it was not a brown recluse, was it?
Yeah, it was a brown recluse, and I have a keyboard right here, like a piano keyboard right here, and it crawls up onto the keyboard underneath the Joe Jackson record, and then back out again. And I see it, and I'm like, I can't have this thing running around because I know
somebody's gonna
freak out.
Leap into the air and
so
die.
So I had nothing to hit it with except my glass of rum and coke. And so I'm like trying to hit this spider when it's like dancing. It's all over the table. And I finally got it. And there's some spider goo there at the bottom of the glass. Spider goo.
Lick it.
Yuck.
No, I will not be licking it.
Lick it.
So on that happy note, we love you guys. Thanks so much for hanging out. All those online. And don't forget to go to Rock Rage Radio. Don't forget to go to LouLombardiMusic.com. Check out Hot Licks with Lily Six. Check out the band Ugly. And make sure that you go to buildthescene.com and you check out what Bill Damiano is doing. He's a real heart for local music, and he has the respect of a lot of local musicians. You guys have a great week, and we'll catch you all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.